Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
It's the breakfast show that's all about Cambridge. We've got the news.
National and local.
Travel updates.
From the A14 to Milton Bode and all stations to Cambridge.
The people and the places.
Plus guests in our Friday food club.
Cambridge Juice.
All the new things to do in the city.
Our daily quiz.
Oh yes, questions with Lucian.
And all request Jukebox Friday.
And don't forget the coffee.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Here with a fresh blend weekday mornings from 7.
Now, here we go again. Back into lockdown with all the problems we've discussed these past few months. And even before we went into lockdown last time around, we knew about the importance of the food bank. And as that lockdown started, Margaret Sayner took over as the organisation's CEO. And Margaret joins me on the line now. Morning to you, Margaret.
Morning, Julian.
Morning. Have you seen the importance of the food bank, I gather, from both sides?
Yeah, so we've seen, obviously, before the lockdown, the food bank was under great demand. We've been going up year on year. When the lockdown started, our numbers just went through the roof for the first couple of months. It then, during the summer, it settled down as a lot of areas in the city, the local community set up food hubs to support their local residents, which was really a great response. Mm. Obviously, there's concerns about the long-term sustainability of those groups, but they did take a lot of pressure off us. Now, we all thought that furlough was going to end, but people are getting through their savings. People are starting to lose their jobs. There are people who never thought they'd be using the food bank who are coming to the food bank, and we're seeing our numbers going up again. I haven't got the full figures for October yet, but we're already, even on the numbers we've got in, it was our busiest October ever.
Do you see some sort of correlation between relaxation of the various lockdown measures? For example, when the city started to open back up again, people were clearly going back to work and getting more money in their pocket. Or has the furlough situation really masked that?
I think the furlough situation has, to some extent, masked that. For us, the summers are usually a bit quieter anyway, so we would expect a bit of a lull. People don't need, they're not having to spend money on heating their homes, so they've got a little bit more money to spend on their food.
Because I guess that's the other issue, really, isn't it? Today we have quite a balmy 16 or 17 degrees, but it's November and we know it's going to get cold pretty soon.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. That's actually another thing that we can offer through some of our agencies that we work with. We can offer some support with fuel for people on prepayment meters.
How does a food bank work? Now, I know I've seen in the shops and baskets for collections, but that can't cover everything, and people going around the supermarket and popping in a couple of packs of pasta into there. How do you organise the food coming in?
Well, actually, it's surprising. The bulk of our food actually comes through those baskets in the supermarkets.
Really? That's
people are incredibly generous. And each one of those bags of rice or packs of tea or sugar or biscuits or puddings, it all adds up.
And has there been an impact then in the amount of food that you're getting in? Because if one looks at both the click and collect and the delivery, you can't get a slot, and that would suggest that fewer people are going into the supermarkets, and if fewer people are going in, they're not going to be able to deposit that pasta or whatever it is they choose to put in there for you.
Initially, we did see a fall off in the amount of donations, partly because the supermarkets were restricting the number of items from a particular range that people could buy, so that they weren't able to buy the extra pack for the food bank. And also because some supermarkets were putting the collection bins where you had to go back into the shop to put
my goodness,
the donation
it's much as the times I've got lost following arrows absolutely everywhere. Up where you started.
Yeah, you know, the one-way system sometimes made it a bit difficult.
Yes.
But people just kept donating. Our level of donations just rocketed up. You know, people were still able to donate food. They found a way. The people of Cambridge are incredibly generous.
Mm. People, obviously, they then have to, effectively, other people are then drawing on the bank, as it were. What sort of person would use a food bank? Or perhaps more importantly right now, how have you seen that change over the past few months?
So the people who use the food bank can be anybody who's just fallen on hard times, just because something, you know, they were ticking along quite happily and then something goes wrong. Under normal circumstances, it could just be, you know, the car breaks down, they have to get it fixed. The dog needs to go to the vet, and that can be very expensive. So it can be anybody, but we've certainly seen during the course of the pandemic a lot more families coming in. We've also seen a lot more people who would not normally be using the food bank, but because they've been furloughed, or they've been in some cases even just laid off, they've still got their mortgages, mm. their loans, their phone contracts, and you know, it takes, obviously that's not something you can just drop overnight.
No, absolutely not. And I guess the danger is when we finally get out of this particular mess that we find ourselves in, there will be people who are laid off and there won't be the furlough scheme anymore.
No, I think that's going to be a big problem. But we work with professional agencies, Citizens Advice, the Children and Family Centres, the Probation Service, you know, a whole range of professional agencies around the city, and they refer people in to us. So it's their judgment that says this person needs a food bank voucher.
You mentioned the various food hubs which have been set up around the city. And you expressed a fear that they might not continue. Why is that?
Well, I think for one thing, obviously they rely on funding, which fortunately is still available and will continue for several more months. But you know, the food bank has been in the city for 10 years. This year is our 10th birthday. We had a big celebration. If a celebration of a food bank is the right thing to have. But you know, we've been here for a long time, and we'll continue to be here for the people of Cambridge who need us.
And you're part of a network, I think, aren't you? Organised by the Trussell Trust. How does that work?
Yes.
Do you have regular contact with some of the other food banks, or is it just a general sort of best practice kind of thing gets fed through to you?
No, so that it's almost works a bit like a franchise. So they give us instructions for how to run the food bank. We're an independent charity, so there are things we can do independent of...
Right, so Cambridge City Food Bank is still separate on its own, is that right?
Yes,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
But we're part of the Trussell Trust. We have regular meetings with other food banks in the area, so Ely, St Neots, Godmanchester, Haverhill. It's like a local network, and then part of the wider Trussell Trust organisation.
Mm. And we have, you know, obviously, it's been on the news the past couple of days. We're going into this new lockdown on Thursday. What are you doing to make sure that everything ticks along, as it were, from the perspective of the food bank, and to make sure that those in need can get access to your services?
Well, we'll continue very much as we have been. We actually reopened our Trumpington distribution centre last Friday, so that will stay open, serving the people in the south of the city. You know, we will continue to collect food in. We will continue to distribute it. Obviously, we're going to have to be careful, as we have been right through, to keep our visitors and our volunteers safe. We're running more small teams in our warehouse to make sure we've got the boxes packed, ready to go out. Our distribution centre teams are set up to keep social distancing, not only between the clients and the volunteers, but also between the volunteers themselves. So we will continue drawing on the experience that we've built up and the risk assessments that we've done to make sure that we keep being here to provide food for people.
And is it that, you know, in terms of donations, is it just the, I keep using pastas, the analogy, but I guess turning up and putting a bunch of bananas in there possibly isn't quite so helpful, because you need food that is going to be last, shall we say, in terms of duration some time. But is it just the donations that you need, or in terms of food, or you know, is cash helpful too?
Cash is helpful too, because sometimes we have to buy food in to make up for the gaps. If we've got a mountain of pasta but no pasta sauce, or we need a bit of oil or sugar or tea or something to put in,
yes,
then we can use some of the donations to buy it. Plus, of course, we have to run a van that goes around the centres delivering the food. So we do have a few expenses, although obviously we try to keep them to a minimum.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that, really. I guess you're trying to give people as, you know, balanced a diet as possible when you're offering them a little packages.
Yeah, so the contents of the food parcel is determined by the Trussell Trust nutritionist. So it's 3 days balanced food for, you know, breakfast, lunches, evening meals, plus a few sort of nice things like cookies and chocolates.
Yeah, not
the
boring stuff. Yeah, no, absolutely. And 3 day packages. So what happens after 3 days? Do people come back again? Do they get referred back again?
They have to be referred back. We normally allow people to have 3 vouchers in 6 months, but we've actually, subject to the discretion of the agency that the people are working with, and this is why working with the agencies is so good, we can extend that a bit, because we know that at the moment the crisis is likely to be more than just a few days.
Yes, no, of course. Well, look, Margaret, it's one of these times I quite happily carry on chatting with you about this for some considerable time, but we have to leave it there. If somebody wants to get in touch, if they want to make a donation, or maybe they can volunteer their services, where do people find you?
So if they go to our website, cambridgecity.foodbank.org.uk.
Okay, that's good.
That'll have all the information on it. Or they can just email info@ccfb, that's charliefoxtrotbravo.org.uk.
Okay, well, thank you, Margaret. Lovely to speak to you. That's Margaret Sainer, who is CEO of Cambridge City Food Bank, joining us this morning. Takes us to 8:45.